Federal courts are using money from filing fees and long-term appropriations to stay open during the shutdown, but the judiciary's administrative office says even that money could run out this week. Jim Silkenat is the president of the American Bar Association. He explains how the crisis would impact courts and access to justice.
The process of slowdown has already started. We've had, unlike the prior shutdown of the U.S. government, this one has been preceded by a year plus of sequestration, which had already cut down the courts and their operation to a bare minimum in any case. So with the shutdown now coming, courts have run out of money and will do so definitively next Thursday, we're told. So what's already started to happen in a number of districts is that not only are layoffs and furloughs happening for employees, and this is not just, it's all of court staff, translators, security guards, maintenance people, everything else that makes a court actually function on a day-to-day basis.
Now, earlier, some of the people in the administration were saying that, well, civil cases might not go forward, but criminal cases kind of have to. Do you see that being possible?
And for each district, there is something called essential, and that's in quotes, cases. And what essential winds up meaning in each district court will differ. Some criminal trials won't be able to proceed because prosecutors who are also under, budgetary constraints don't have the body count to do the investigations, to do all the other things that are involved in the trial in addition to actually prosecuting the case in court. So in my home district, Southern District of New York, the chief judge there has put a stay on most proceedings being led by the government against various parties. So while most criminal trials will proceed, civil trials will almost certainly wind down almost immediately, except with minor exceptions. And there will be the occasional criminal one where things will just be delayed because there aren't people to do the work on either side.
So in other words, it takes a lot more than just a judge and a bailiff to be able to conduct a decent or a proper legal trial.
Absolutely. I mean, a court is like any other institutions. You have maintenance people, you have electricians, how do you keep the lights on? How do you keep the heater, the air conditioning operating? All of those things are in play already, and courts have been trying to figure out, well, if we close Tuesdays, is that enough to get us through the week? What if we don't do maintenance on anything? What if we, turn all the lights off in this wing of the building? All of those issues, we're well into them already.
And what are the attorneys that you come in contact with through the Bar Association, what are they telling you about all this?
Well, it's enormously frustrating and will wind up costing both individuals and the government generally, and therefore U.S. taxpayers, much more eventually to get things started up again, all of the delays cured, just to get back to where we would have been. And that's on top of just the cost of delay itself. I mean, the usual saying is justice delayed is justice denied. Well, here we have those costs plus just the cost of catching up.
It sounds like even when we do begin again with normal funding, whatever that might be, it would be impossible to make up the lost time. It's just a permanent delay, sounds like what you're saying.
There will be huge efforts to try to catch up, but you're right. Things will just be put off. So all of the cases dealing with employment law matters or corporate contracts, those are just delayed. Courts aren't able to resolve disputes. Businesses aren't able to proceed with employment decisions, hiring decisions, business decisions. And then you have all of the things facing individuals. Immigration matters, family custody matters, all sorts of issues that people need to have resolved by courts to live their lives, to function in society. All that's put off until Congress does what it's supposed to do and passes a budget.
We're speaking with James Silkenat. He is president of the American Bar Association. What about judges? Have you heard or spoken to any of them?
I have. We've heard from judges around the country. Different districts have slightly differing amounts of money because of court fees, because of deferred maintenance on certain issues. So we will see different reactions in different districts and around the court. But all of it is in the process of winding down, shutting down now, and how much further past Thursday courts can get is really unclear. And that will affect, in some cases, the kind of cases they're able to proceed with. If a court in, North Dakota doesn't have the cost of translators, then that's a cost they save, whereas a court in New Mexico probably does have translators they have to pay. Well, they can't pay them because they don't have the money. So how each district handles its particular set of problems is unique.
And will any of this flow down to the state or other courts besides federal, do you think?
Well, state courts have had this problem for 5 or 10 years now. Almost all state courts are woefully underfunded, and what the ABA has been trying to do is convince state legislatures to fix that problem. The overflow from the federal problem now will also slop on to state courts. There are connections between the two. There are things that the federal government pays for at the state level for state courts, although not the bulk of the expenses. All of that money now has stopped as well.
And what about the advantage in criminal cases, getting back to those? Does the shutdown and the resulting delays, does that give an advantage to one side or the other, the prosecutors or to the criminal defendant attorneys?
I don't see an advantage one way or another on that. Everybody's sort of stopped from proceeding. Depending on the facts of your particular case, that may hurt you or help you. But I can't see any natural advantage one way or the other, no.
And what about the long-term impact of this once things do get back to some kind of normal functioning? Does this have a lasting impact besides the immediate getting caught up?
What we're trying to advocate from the legal profession's point of view, from the American Bar Association, is that Congress needs to adopt a budget that fixes not only the effects of the shutdown, but the effects of the sequestration over the last year. That's probably an even bigger problem than the shutdown. The amounts that have been cut from federal judicial budgets, really unacceptable. We have to have a fully functioning judiciary. That's what our Constitution requires and what Congress at the moment is not providing. Without that, all the problems that society looks to courts to solve aren't being solved.
And what about the indigent clients, those that are served by the public defenders? They seem like they're taking a hit there, too.
Maybe the worst area. The federal court system pays for the federal defender program. It's part of the federal judiciary's budget. Those people are being laid off left and right. What I'm amazed to see is in courts all around the country, even where there are strict instructions from the chief judge, don't come into work. And in some cases, turn in your BlackBerry, turn in your equipment. People are still going to work because that's what their job is, even though they're not getting paid.
Now, you were attending a conference of international bars. What does it look like from the European or other country standpoint when they look at the greatest judicial system in the world?
And nobody understands it at all. As I've indicated to a number of folks, it's almost impossible to explain this situation to American citizens. Trying to do it to folks who are outside the U.S. political framework, outside with limited knowledge of the U.S. politics part of this, it's impossible to explain. They look at us with this amazed look and then start describing the things that they had looked forward to doing in the U.S. that they can't do. Can't go to museums run by the federal government, the Kennedy Museum and Boston, for example, visit national parks, visit the Smithsonian in Washington. I mean, those are kind of small issues that people aren't able to take advantage of now. But the impact on courts is the one that they are least able to understand.
That's Jim Silkenak. He's president of the American Bar Association.